This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
After 20 years of going backwards, we may not be speeding at the speed we wanted, but we at least have turned the boat around to the right direction.
Sunday night, and this is the place to be. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and I'm Taxi Dave, WOR 710. We're broadcasting live from San Jose, California, where it's normal to do 90 miles an hour on the highways, and it's also normal to see highway patrol cars every mile with speeders pulled over. I don't get it. You don't speed, you don't get pulled over. So we have a very interesting show. The chairwoman of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, Mira Zoshi, is with us. And a little later, we have an announcement from Eric Arkeman, who works with Gridlock Sam Schwartz's New York office, about a major street closure in Manhattan for 3 weeks. We'll get to that. We'll also talk about the upcoming New Jersey transit strike. These are just updates I'll be giving you. Upstate New York, some stuff going on. New York City repaving. Money for small airports. Brad Gerstmann, the gentleman who is a guest on our show, he's in an article about Uber. And so is Mark Ilacqua from Upstate, who is a guest on our show. MTA Overtime. And as always, we'll take your emails at taxihale@aol.com, and we'll take your calls at 800-321-0710. We'll also have some birthday announcements a little later. When we have the chairwoman on, for legal reasons, I cannot discuss and I will not handle any calls that, have to do with app companies, Uber, equal protection, that type of stuff. Basically, there is a hearing coming up June 23rd. Drivers in New York City, taxi drivers, for-hire drivers have heard about this new rule where you can't drive for more than 12 hours, and that's what we're basically going to discuss with Mira Zoshi, and then also make a little news with some new rules for the SHLs. Those are the green permits that will be coming up. So without further ado, let me tell you a little bit about our first guest, the chairwoman of the Taxi and Limousine Commission. She had worked as Inspector General for the New York City Department of Investigation and investigated corruption at the Department of Correction, the Department of Probation, Juvenile Justice, and the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. She was also First Deputy Executive Director of the New York City Civilian Complaint Review Board and served, before she was Chairwoman, Deputy Commissioner of Legal Affairs and General Counsel to the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. And I have to tell you, I've dealt with all the general counsels for the last 20 years at the Taxi and Limousine Commission. And for me personally, it really was an honor. And it was, you know, you just didn't get voicemail. You know, we discussed issues. She listened, gave you her opinion. And it was a very progressive discussion the years when we were working together in that capacity. But now with us is the chairwoman of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, Mira Zoshi. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you, and good evening. I didn't realize you're in sunny California. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we have 3 hours more light. I figured I need 3 hours extra light. What could I tell you?
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
There's some hockey game or something, I think, that's going on, but we'll talk about that later. You know, driver fatigue has been a very big issue. And there were some statistics that your agency came out with that I certainly never heard before. and if true, certainly understand why this new rule is going into effect. And I know you've gotten a lot of blowback from different drivers' associations and different drivers, and people are planning to speak. So why don't you tell us what this 12-hour shift rule really is about, and why, you know, the mayor and yourself are in favor of it?
Sure, and I want to first tell you thank you for taking this time to allow me to come on the show and explain the rule. We publish a lot of things, and they're not necessarily, though they're in English, they're not necessarily easy to understand. So it's great when we have an opportunity like this to reach a lot of drivers and tell them what the rules say and what practically it means. So part of our Year 3 Vision Zero initiatives is to look at fatigue driving. That's drivers driving excessive hours, not just within 24 hours.
Commissioner, I have to interrupt you. We have a really bad connection. I'm going to continue the show. Our engineer, Noah, is going to call you back. I think it's only fair to our audience and fair to you that what you have to say is heard crystal clear and made perfectly clear. So no offense, but please hang up, and Noah will call you right back on a better line. Okay? In any event, let me just talk about, do you take New Jersey Transit? Well, guess what? June 30th, there's a deadline. That's right. Conductors originally rejected a proposed agreement on March 11th, okay? And if engineers and conductors do strike, it will be up to Congress to vote on a bill to impose a settlement. So you're not done yet, New Jersey Transit. June 30th is a deadline, just to let you know. Times Union, which is the biggest newspaper up in Albany in New York State, one of our prior guests, who is actually Mark Ilacqua, from the Upstate Transportation Association, there was a large article about him working with other upstate cities and against the current TNC bill that's being bandied about up in Albany at the Assembly and the Legislature. Okay, back with us now is the chairwoman of the Taxi and Limousine Commission, Mira Zoshi. Let's see how this sounds.
Well, I hope you can hear me now. Is this better?
Noah, how's that coming in? Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. Well, let's move forward, and if it's a problem, we'll work on it right now.
Okay. All right. So I'll just pick up where I was before we let off for a better connection. But the point of the rules is to address drivers that drive excessive hours, and it's part of the mayor's Vision Zero plan, Year 3 initiative. And for years, and currently today, we have a rule that says taxi drivers, and only taxi drivers, can't drive for more than 12 hours. It's not a rule we've used that often, and in fact, the penalties are pretty slim. And the rule really needed to be updated to reflect the fact that lots of drivers have much more flexible schedules, and we need a rule that applies to all 140,000 drivers that we have, not just yellow taxi drivers. Whatever rule we have needs to apply to every driver. So we looked at some of the best practices as well as our own data and are proposing a 12-hour limit within 24 hours. But I think what's key to understand is it's not 12 consecutive hours. It's any 12 hours. So if you drive from 8 to 10, that's 2 hours. You take 4 hours off. Those 4 hours don't count. And you still have 10 hours left to drive before 8 a.m.
Oh, that's great news, because I've had so many drivers call me and come into my office and say, well, what if I'm having repairs for 4 or 5 hours? Why don't I get a chance to make that up? And what you're saying is they do have a chance to make that up.
Absolutely. It will not be counted in the 12 hours. And, in fact, if you drive for 12 hours, but you take an 8-hour break, we'll reset the clock so you get another 12 hours. And that's really to an understanding of people that do a night shift to pick up a morning as well. And we're fine with that as long as you have enough of a break in between. So I think it's crucial for drivers to understand this is a rule with built-in flexibility. And moreover, it's crucial to understand that based on our data, only 7% of active drivers, and that's all 140,000 on any day, those that are active, are driving more than 12 hours a day. And we have a proposed 72 hours a week. and only 3% of drivers drive more than 72 hours a week. Actually, I'm sorry, I got that reversed. Only 3% drive more than 12 hours, and only 7% drive more than 72 hours. So the 12 hours a day is really not being exceeded by very many drivers. So a few drivers will have to change their patterns, but most drivers are perfectly fine doing what they're doing today.
Wow, those are interesting statistics. By the way, it's your phone. That's what I'm being told by the engineers at WOR. I don't know if you're close to electronic equipment or in a bad area. But anyway, so only 3% of drivers drive more than 12 hours in a shift. So
yeah.
there's a 24-hour lease cap for a 24-hour shift, and drivers sometimes try to do that themselves. Well, basically, I guess what we're saying is that 24-hour shift is now for two drivers. That's the way
right.
It should be.
But, I mean, you're saying that there's drivers that drive the entire 24 hours themselves?
Well, you know, when the workforce, when there were a lot of cabs sitting, instead of drivers starting at 5, they may get in at 11, and they might not work, 24 hours, but they may, they may work for 18 hours or something like that. As they did in the old days, so to speak.
Right.
So,
right.
That's out the window.
Those drivers will have to adjust, and I think that's for the good of the drivers as well as for the public, because science as well as common sense tells us after a certain number of hours behind the wheels, your ability to stay alert and react to stressful situations is diminished. And that certainly happens if you do that every day for a week and week after week. So it will take some adjustment, but we're placing safety at the top of our priority list. And that really is for the good of the drivers as well as the passengers and everybody we share the streets with.
There was one statistic that was outstanding that caught my eye. The percentage of accidents that you have that you posted that drivers who drive more than 12 hours have as compared with drivers who drive less than 12 hours.
Yeah, so we looked at some people said, why are you doing this? Is it true that people get into crashes after a certain number of hours? And there's lots of statistics in other industries and other jurisdictions that show us that, but we wanted to look at our own numbers and see, well, is that true in New York City? And when we looked, and we have trip data from SHVs as well as from taxi, green and yellow, and it turns out close to 29% of crashes happen after the 12th hour, and something like 9% of crashes happen after the 72nd hour in a week. So there definitely is, an increase, especially in the 12-hour block, for a likelihood of getting into a crash.
Unbelievable. We have Mira Zoshi, the chairwoman of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, with us. Our email address is taxihail@aol.com, and our phone number is 800-321-0710. Here's an email. Hey, Taxi Dave, I think the new rule that the TLC wants to enforce about the shift has to be changed. I think the rule is unfair because New York City MTA bus drivers can work 14 to 16-hour shifts as long as they have an 8-hour break. Also, they can work 12 days straight before they have to take off the 13th day. So why make cab drivers only work 12-hour shifts and have to take the 7th day off when we are all independent contractors? Dun, 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 dun. So what happens if you work one of these app companies? Who's going to enforce this rule? And if I work for Uber for 12 hours and then I switch to Lyft for another 5 or 6 hours, how will the TLC regulate these companies? We're supposed to believe these app companies will turn over information on drivers and how long they drive. It's a little convoluted here. But basically, that seems to be an interesting question. Will these rules apply to FHV vehicles?
Absolutely, and they'll apply to bases. So the FHV bases, the app companies that are dispatching, if you're dispatching a driver for more than 12 hours straight, you're as liable as the driver is. And we have trip records, and we're basing it on passenger pickup. So that's not the time that you turn on the app or the time that you get to the garage or the time that you spend driving to your first passenger. That's not counted. It's passenger pickup to passenger pickup. So we're really being conservative about the counting the hours and making sure they're actual trip hours. But as far as the basis liability, if you drive for Uber for 6 hours and then Lyft for 10 hours, we know from both of those trip records, the Uber and the Lyft trip records, and although neither base would be liable in that situation, the driver would.
Okay, so the base and isn't think, liable, but the driver, so you hear
yeah,
that,
but
drivers?
If the base dispatches for more than 12 hours, the base is liable.
Oh, okay. There you go. So that answers that question. That was a great question and a great answer.
And I think one thing I want to point out, and it, we touched on it in our statement of basis and purpose, we don't want to put out a rule that people have trouble understanding how to practically, you know, use every day and how to understand sort of the educational component behind it. Why is this important? Without doing outreach and doing that education. So should the rules pass, we will not enforce on day one. We will spend considerable time doing education and outreach. And our plan is not to summons people after the first violation. That should be a warning so that people understand what is excessive driving. And only after they understand what is excessive driving, if they continue to do it number of times repeatedly, then we can summons. But the point of this is to educate drivers on when they are pushing the limit with driving. And I completely understand what I've heard from many drivers, even before we proposed these rules, that, you know, economic times are difficult and they force you to drive longer hours. And as difficult as that is, it should never trump safety of yourself, your passengers, and pedestrians in the street. We're all drivers and we're all pedestrians, so I'm sure every driver wouldn't want a tired driver behind the wheel when their family was crossing the street.
That's for sure. That's for sure. This is from Miguel. He said, can't the city pay for a better cell phone for the TLC chairwoman? It sounds like she's calling from England during the Blitzkrieg in World War II.
I have to apologize. I'm outside and it is windy.
Oh, okay. That explains it. This is from Abe. How about a fare increase to compensate for not working long hours? There is a system in place. I don't know if we want to go there or not. Let's see. We have this from, okay, let me get that out of the way. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at some of the emails while you're on the phone. And let me just read this one. I'm getting sick and tired of law enforcement, the police, TLC, the double standard. All the e-hail cars make turns from the second lane all the time. They double park and open their trunk and open their hood and sit like they're in their living room, and they drive in reverse. Yes, they drive backwards into oncoming traffic so they can turn and don't have to go around the block to save time. That's very dangerous. They've turned their dashboards into entertainment centers with large iPods, 2, 3 iPhones. That's a lot of distraction, and they get away with it, and they don't get ticketed. However, still anything cabbies do, they get a hefty fine, and that's not fair. That's from Mr. Hawk. I don't know if you want
to
comment on that.
I have to say, there's something to a car being yellow that brings more attention to it, and I think that's undisputable. And we're cognizant of that. So we've stressed with our inspectors that, you know, they're all TLC cars, so we treat them all equally, and if anybody's engaged in a moving violation, that's who we ticket. And we've done that exercise as well with NYPD, because that's, you know, no, it's just a pattern, you know, especially in Manhattan. There's some general habit to see yellow, and their attention is attracted to that. And Chief Chan has been an excellent partner, and he understands what we're talking about when we tell him, you know, there's a lot more FHV cars on the road today, and there's a lot more in Manhattan specifically, and they need to be, you know, they need the attention of NYPD if they're reckless in the manner in which they're driving. It can't just be taxis. And he's been receptive, and I know he's talked to the precincts in Midtown especially about the need for equitable enforcement.
I have reports that NYPD has been giving summonses for illegal street hails, specifically to some app-based cars. I do have a question. The new penalties of $2,000, $4,000, and $10,000 that are supposed to kick in for illegal street hails, when does that begin?
That, and I'm afraid I don't have the exact date, but it is very soon if it isn't within the next month or so. And to your first point, yes, we've been working with PD to do illegal street hail in Manhattan, which is something we haven't done before, but we've done several joint enforcement initiatives over the last couple months, and I'm sure that will continue.
Okay. And let's see. I don't have any more questions about this. Now, June 23rd is the public hearing, correct?
Yes, we will not vote. I think there's, like you mentioned, there's a lot of people with a lot of different points of view that we need to hear, the commissioners need to hear and absorb before we plan, you know, take a vote in case we want to make any changes to the rule based on testimony. So June 23rd will be the hearing, and we'll do the vote probably the following meeting. But I do have a piece of news on the green taxis that
I was just going to go into that, and I don't know if we're making news, but let's hear about the SHLs, the street hail.
Sure. Under the state law, after 3 years has elapsed, the market for who can buy a green taxi permit opens up. Up until June 13th, which is Monday, you had to be an FHV driver or an FHV vehicle owner for a year or more in order to buy a permit. And on Monday, anyone can buy that permit. So I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the wider market of buyers, how sales go. I think there's definitely still interest in the green taxis, and with new prospective buyers, we'll see how the market changes.
What are the requirements for a buyer?
Do they need they're to basically have a- you. Yeah, you can't owe any money to the city for like vehicle related things. So that's, you know, moving violations or Department of Finance. You can't owe the TLC any money, and other than that, it's pretty straightforward. So you can be a passive investor. You can buy a permit. Doesn't mean you have to drive it. You can get someone else to drive it.
How much does that cost?
They're $3,500. And if you, I'm sorry, yeah, well, it's $3,500 including your 3 years of inspections. And for the accessibles, you can buy up to five. And for the non-accessibles, you can buy one.
Okay. You heard it here. And that starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. And I have one other piece of, it's not really news, but it's hopefully something more convenient for drivers or new applicants. We now have on our website a way for you to check on your application without calling us or coming to licensing. It's a web page, and we'll make sure we get you the link so you can broadcast it. You put in your application number, and it pops up with your status. So I'm hoping that saves a lot of time for applicants who sometimes have to call the call center and don't actually get a response in a manner that is convenient.
Okay. You heard it here on the Taxi Dave Show. We'll take two or three more minutes with the commissioner, and let's just take a couple of calls. Frank, you're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. I had a good ride till the end, and because of that little bit of mistake on my part, it cost me $150 with the TLC. I had taken a ride from 11th and University to 38th and 8th, and it took a half an hour to go about 2 miles approximately. And during the ride, I'm used to sitting in traffic. We've had to do that for 10 years or more now. And I'm talking with the passenger, and I'm being very friendly. But at the end of the ride, she had an old-fashioned feeling about distress with regard to traffic because traffic wasn't moving from 34th to 38th very quickly, and she became very distressed and upset. And that made it more difficult for me to be driving my car and being safe in traffic and listening to her. And by the end of the ride, I have an office chair in the back of my big SUV. I have a Highlander. And I was kind of car she needed in order to get the chair into the cab, and I had to put down my left back seat in order to get it in. And I get to the end of the ride, and the stress kind of maybe distracted my mind from the chair being in the back and the fact that people can easily open my hatch when I'm not paying attention and begin unloading. And some woman jumped in to go to the international school at 23rd and 1st, and I wanted to move my car, and I moved about a foot, and I heard noise in the back, and I immediately stopped. I mean, this has happened maybe a dozen times in my life. So you people used to knock on the car. Hey, your trunk. We got to get to your trunk. And you know, I've never really had the problem where I rode away. But but here I am. I went 1 foot, and the woman came up alongside my car and used some vulgar language to describe her feelings about me. And I said, that's a very unfair thing to say. And she walked away and then makes a complaint, and I have to go with a letter to the TLC. And I was going to argue the point, but I didn't apologize, Dave. It's important to apologize if you can.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have gotten out of my car and apologized. That's the only reason I paid the fine without talking to a judge. I hadn't apologized. I don't think I ever had in my life for 43 years of driving, but there is a need.
Thank you, Frank. You know, Frank is absolutely right, you know, when it comes to communicating that with passengers, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, driving is a stressful job, and I think there's frequently times where passengers are, and let's be honest, they're pushing drivers to do things either that are unsafe, go faster, turn here, turn that, or they may be making demands that, you know, are really pushing a driver's patience. But part of the professionalism is, and I think you make a great point about apologizing, you know, that really keeps
okay.
It clear that you have your standards.
All right. Chairwoman of the Taxi Limousine Commission, Mira Zoshi. I'm Taxi Dave. Thank you for being with us. We hope you'll come back again, and thanks for explaining the 12-hour rule. If you have anything to say, June 23rd at the Taxi and Limousine Commission. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number 3 or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
If an insurance company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York, Hereford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is a leader in taxi leasing run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Berlin Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
Hey, taxi!
Where to, buddy?
The Taxi Dave Show.
She can't take your mind and leave. I know it's just another trick she's got up her sleeve.
Taxi Dave Show is back. We're on WOR 710. I'm Taxi Dave. We had the chairwoman of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission with us, Mira Zoshi, and who thoroughly explained that new 12-hour rule that's coming up, answered all my questions, and all your questions, too, for those of you who emailed me. What could I tell you? We had a guest on our show, Brad Gerstmann, last week or the week before, and there was an article in the newspaper where he got into a cab and he was asked by, a driver, if they offered, one of the drivers offered prostitutes and drugs. And his quote is, I asked him what kind of drugs. He said, whatever you want. It was really sleazy. But according to the article and Brad Gerstmann, Uber drivers and other black car operators are taking kickbacks from Manhattan strip club to bring customers to its door. They're offering to take guys leaving the club to a strip club on East 60th Street. An illegal scheme since black cars are barred from taking street hails. Okay, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. So that's one thing that's going on. Wonderful. Recalls. Do you have a Land Rover? Do you have a Chrysler? A Nissan? Well, almost 15,000 2015 and 2016 Land Rover Discovery Sport vehicles are being recalled. It sounds something simple. The license plate illumination lamp, it may fall out. Now, I can't begin to tell you. When you, in New York City, it may go unnoticed, but when you go up to Rockland County, Orange County, Westchester County, Nassau County, okay, or you're on dark roads anywhere, police officers look at the license plates, and if the light bulb is out, you are going to get pulled over. So that recall's supposed to begin June 27th. Also, Chrysler's recalling some 2016 Jeep Cherokee vehicles. The right half shaft could fracture without warning, and that may disconnect from the drive axle. Very serious. There's only about 1,000 of those vehicles, but those are 2016 Jeep Cherokees, and owners will be notified. Also, almost 80,000 Nissans. They're recalling 2013 and 2014 Pathfinders. The brake light switch may stay in the on position, and that causes the brake lights in the rear to remain illuminated, even when the brakes aren't being applied. So the brake light switch may also interfere with the brake shift interlock. That means that you can shift the vehicle out of the park position without pressing the brake. So if those, I was wondering why sometimes you see brake lights on all the time. You know, I've actually seen that. So there you have it, about 95,000 recalls. I got to tell you about something that happened to me in the Bronx today. So I was born on Nelson Avenue near Featherbed Lane. In fact, right now, Nelson Avenue and Featherbed Lane, where I was born, is exactly where the Cross Bronx Distressway is right now. Yes, Distressway. So I'm on the Cross Bronx Distressway, and I'm just about at Nelson Avenue, and a tractor trailer slowly merges, drifts into my lane. I hit my brakes, okay, and when I hit my horn, I saw the cab shake. The driver, I think, fell asleep. So you talk about distracted driving. I mean, you talk about fatigue while you're driving. I was almost killed the same place where I was born. How often does that happen? Really weird. Okay. Bob, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi there, Dave. I'm okay. See you found your way to San Jose.
Yes, I did.
Okay. By the way, one of the most famous transit wrecks in New York City, the Marylebone wreck on the old BRT back around World War I, was caused by driver fatigue.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And well, there you go. I mean, that bit of information alone is very important.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you want to do some things, a guy named Shaw wrote a book on railroad accidents. It'd be well worthwhile for the people who have not, you know, looked at what fatigue can do. It's a place to start. And there's also a lot of aircraft accidents. As a matter of fact, they had one in Buffalo where they had the pilots had been on duty like 20-plus hours.
Right.
And they also, and that plane crash occurred because of that.
Wow. So all kinds of transportation.
And that was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, you know what else causes fatigue? Sometimes when you get aggravated, you're in unusual traffic for heavy, heavy times, you may become forgetful and leave someone's chair in the car. Or you just may get extra fatigue because a 1-hour trip or a 2-hour trip can turn into a 4 or 5-hour trip.
Yes, and that's, so what a,
what I want you to know, right, our next guest is Eric Arsamont, okay? And Eric is the senior vice president from Gridlock Sam's New York office. That's Sam Schwartz. And he's going to make an announcement about a major New York City roadway that's going to be closed for just about 3 weeks. Now, Eric Arsamont is responsible for directing all these large-scale projects in the New York region. He was responsible for the World Trade Center redevelopment, the Second Avenue subway construction. Okay, he has extensive expertise in engineering from, design, analysis of roadways, parking, bicycles, pedestrian fatalities, and the traffic impact studies that we've all talked about and heard about on this show. He's managed hundreds of projects, and he's currently directing the company's effort on the Rockefeller University River Project, which is what's going to close a major roadway for 3 weeks. Eric Arsamont, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you, Dave. Good to have be here. Thank you.
Okay.
And thanks for that introduction, by the way.
You're quite welcome. So why don't you, first of all, why don't you tell everybody which roadway is going to be closed, and then when, and then why?
And then I'll also give some tips, which I think is what everyone's going to want to hear.
Right.
So we're talking about the FDR Drive. And so, as you mentioned, Rockefeller University is building a new building over the FDR Drive between 64th and 68th Streets. And in order to do that, they're going to need to close the FDR Drive for 19 nights over the summer. It's not going to be all consecutive, but it's going to happen in blocks, in five different blocks. It'll happen overnight. And the reason is they're doing as much of the work as they can as possible off-site at a port in New Jersey. They're building most of the building out there, but then they have to bring these modules over. And the modules weigh as much as 1.5 million pounds. In order to lift that over the FDR Drive, obviously you cannot have traffic traveling under it. So when they have to lift these 19 different modules, that's 19 nights throughout the summer, and that's going to cause the closure of the FDR Drive.
You know, it's funny. I know if Sam Schwartz is involved, it's being done right. Because he was on the show, he was a guest on the show a little while ago, and I was fuming because there were some roadways that were closed leading directly to the 59th Street Bridge by utility companies. They actually closed the road, and I found out later they had no permit to close the road in the daytime. They just put up police horses, started drilling, and then telling traffic, you can't come down here, which caused such horrendous traffic. They were unauthorized, and Sam said if that happened under his watch, unauthorized daytime street closures, he would have arrested everybody. So thank you for doing it at night.
Yes. I've worked with him for 20 years. I've heard all the stories about, playing diplomat cars, things like that, really things that people would do. But he did keep moving. He really did some crazy stuff back then. But, So it has to happen overnight because of the amount of traffic. And the key thing for your listeners, for the drivers, the taxi drivers, and any other drivers.
Well, first of all, what time will they be closing the FDR?
It depends on the day. Because on weeknights versus weekend nights, you have different traffic volumes. So it's done around two different things. One is around what the traffic volumes are. The other is around something called slack tide, which is basically between low and high tide, because they're lifting these from barges, these modules from barges, cranes in the river. And so they have to have a really calm tide. But the earliest the closures will happen is 12:30 a.m. And then on weekdays, the FDR will open again at 4:30 in the morning. On weekends, it'll open again at 6:30 in the morning. But the other thing that happens is they're allowed to do one-lane closures and two-lane closures before and after the full closure. So if the FDR drives open before 12:30 in the morning or after 4:30 or after 6:30 in the morning, it could still be kind of messy. So they're posting fears during these closures just to avoid the Upper East Side, the East Side between 42nd Street and 116th Street. That's really where you want to avoid.
And the alternatives, so between 42nd and 125th?
Yeah, so there's a number of alternatives here. So what's going to happen is, if you get yourself caught in there, the key message here is just avoid. It's going to be congested. You've got the major highway closed. So even though the volumes are lower overnight, it's still going to be congested. So
the ramps are going to be closed. I also read on 34th Street, 48th Street, 96th Street. Those ramps are closed going
exactly.
north.
Exactly. So what the DOT doesn't want people getting onto the FDR Drive right before you're going to be forced to get off. So going northbound, they're going to close the 34th Street, 48th Street, and on-ramps. And then on the southbound, they're going to close. So if you're coming over the 3rd Avenue Bridge, you will not be able to directly access the FDR Drive. You'll be sent over to Lexington. If you're coming over the RFK Bridge, sent on to 2nd Avenue, you won't get on the FDR Drive. Then 116th will be closed, 92nd entrance will be closed, 79th will be closed, 73rd, and the 34th Street entrance ramp, exit ramp off of the South Bend FDR Drive will also be closed because all that diverted traffic that's going to be on 2nd Avenue will be brought on a special entrance at 42nd Street. So there's a lot of closures that are going to happen even before and after the full closures of FDR Drive to keep people off of the FDR Drive, so you're not just getting on and then popping right back off.
Okay, and this is supposed to begin when?
So the first one's going to happen the equivalent of Tuesday night. It's really Wednesday morning, so 12:30 in the morning Wednesday is when the full closure will happen.
This week?
This week. So they'll start closing lanes. The first lane closure, the one-lane closure, will happen at 11. The next one, this two-lane closure, will happen at 11:30, and then you have the full closure at 12:50. So once you got that first closure, it's already going to start getting congested. So really, you know, avoid it. But the full closure will happen at 12:30. So you get diverted to 2nd Avenue or Lexington Avenue if you're going southbound. You get diverted to 1st Avenue going northbound. And then that's going to happen Wednesday night. Well, it's Wednesday morning, Tuesday night. It'll happen Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning. And then you go back to a normal schedule. And then throughout the summer, there's going to be a number of these blocks of closures. So there'll be another one toward the end of June. There'll actually be two separate blocks, and you're going to have a few in July as well.
You'll come back on and let us know when that happens.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to keep coming on it. And, you know, if I can, I've got a number of tips for people. I think this, you know, the best thing to do here. The first is, as I said, just avoid the east side between 42nd and 116th. And if you have to be there, if you have to be on the FDR Drive, the key is to not wait until that closure. So if you're going northbound, that 61st Street exit is your last exit point. That's going to be congested, right? So you want to get off at 42nd or 34th, so you're not getting into that congestion of that exit when everybody is forced to get off FDR Drive. If you're coming southbound, get off at 116th Street. Don't wait till 96th Street where there's that full closure. But, you know, in general, just avoid it. So the options for you, you know, we've got a highway on the west side, so if you can do a lot of a trip on the west side and then cut back over, that's not going to have the closure. It won't be as congested. The other great thing about the city is the east side is paralleled by three different boroughs. So if your trip is originating in the Bronx or in Queens or in Brooklyn, if you can stay there. You know, you've got some highways around there. You can stay there until the last moment when you need to be back into the east side, or if you can just avoid it in general, that's a really good option, too, because that all parallels the east side. Check traffic conditions, listen to the radio. A number of radio spots have been purchased, so we're trying to get it out there. And, of course, the reporters have briefed, so you're going to hear it all over the radio. We're also working with the traffic apps, so they're all going to know that that closure exists. So people who use those apps, you should get some very accurate or pretty accurate times in terms of travel times and your alternates because the apps should know that the FDR Drive is closed during those times. Listen to news alerts, and then, of course, you know I'm going to say this, follow Gridlock Sam. You know, he's got his article. You know, he's got Facebook, and then his Twitter is at Gridlock Sam. So we are going to make sure to be tweeting throughout the whole summer to make sure that people are aware. So there's a lot of ways to stay on top of this. Key is to stay away from the east side between 42nd and 116th Street.
There you go. That's a special announcement. About anything else, Eric?
No, I hit it all. The key is to pay attention and know what's going on out there so you avoid getting into all that traffic.
This is Eric Arsamont, the Senior Vice President in Sam Schwartz, Gridlock Sam's New York City office. Thanks for coming on the Taxi Dave Show. Since it's your first time, we'll go easy. But I am curious to know, in those impact studies with pedestrian malls and bike lanes, how traffic moves faster. Maybe we'll talk about that next time.
Okay. I'm happy to talk about it. If you want to talk about it, now we can.
What did you just say?
I said if you want to talk about it, I'm happy to talk about it now. But if you'd like to do it next time, we can do that too.
You know, there's just one thing that bothered me, and sure. With DOT. They have put in designated bike lanes on Columbus Avenue, and I'm using that because ABC Television did their own study, and they claim that the left turn lanes for three or four cars in the designated bike lane area actually sped traffic up during rush hour. When ABC TV 12 times did their own study during rush hour, every time it was minutes longer than before. So,
yeah.
You know, So do you work with DOT, or do they do their own studies, or was that your study?
We're involved in that study. They sometimes do their own studies.
And you know what I hear from a lot of people, and they don't know this, but a lot of people say, how can Times Square traffic be moving faster with the pedestrian mall there? You know, when did they do the study? At 4 o'clock in the morning?
I there are a lot of details that though people who aren't in the traffic field don't know about. So if you're removing a lot of the conflicts that happen, so if cars are waiting to make turns where they wouldn't be making those turns anymore because of certain aspects and other things like that, there's a lot of things that happen with conflicts, things like that, that do speed traffic. So it's much more detailed than just saying you're putting more pedestrians or not, and then, you know, it's that simple. It goes into a lot of other factors that we look at when we do a traffic analysis.
You know what? You've got to come on. We have to talk about other things.
I'm happy to do it. We could do that. That'd be great.
That's Eric Arsamont from Sam Schwartz's office in New York City, telling all drivers, okay, be prepared for those evening closures on the FDR drives. Thanks for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. When we come back, I'll read some other emails if I have time, but I do have some other news points that I will make. This is the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Stay tuned for more Taxi Days.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Hereford Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Hereford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at herefordinsurance.com, www.herefordinsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is the leader in taxi leasing, run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Perlamp Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown. Let's go, let's go, let's go downtown.
Yeah, let's go downtown. Downtown San Jose at 90 miles an hour. This is Taxi Dave. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Hey, how would you like to know that who gets $876 million in overtime? Well, 400 workers for the MTA. Okay, got overtime that surpassed their regular salaries. But in total, $876 million in overtime for MTA workers. Not bad. Can you imagine surpassing your salary in just the overtime? Well, the number one guy that I read about, his salary was $100,000 bucks, and his overtime, with the overtime, $232,000. And I, you're not supposed to mention Joe Rizzo's name, so I won't. Okay? Unbelievable. I'm in the wrong business. All right. There's a new project that will affect anyone who drives in New York City. The DOT, that's the New York City Department of Transportation, they're going to repave 1,000 miles of roadway throughout the boroughs. There's a $1 billion commitment to do this over the next 10 years. A Staten Island Borough President, Jim Otto, said, "Our roads are literally coming apart." Hey, how about that? And he's been pleading for a bigger budget to get his roads paved for the last 8 years. So Richmond Road's going to be repaved out there. And Forest Hill Road's going to be repaved out there. Manhattan, 3rd Avenue from 99th to 124th. And Queens, I'll just read the Queens ones. Queens Boulevard in multiple places. Utopia Parkway, Lefferts Boulevard, Kew Gardens Road, and Horace Harding Expressway. Those are some of the repaving projects that are going to occur soon in New York City. You fly out of small airports? Well, there's some extra money that the governor is throwing in there in the Aviation Capital Grant Program. He selected 20 airports, and I'm not talking about the Newarks and the LaGuardias and the JFKs. Here are the airports that are going to get $10 million split up somehow. Albany International, Columbia County, Schenectady County, Canandaigua County, Finger Lakes Regional, Genesee County, Rochester International Airport, Dutchess County, Orange County Airport, Fulton County, Griffiths International Airport, Adirondack, Plattsburgh, Ithaca Tompkins, Sydney, and Elmira Corning Regional Airport. So all those folks are going to get a little bit of money for more safety. What could I tell you? And we have some birthdays here. Sorry I put it off. Actually, I forgot my CRS kicked in. Happy birthday to Andrea Williams, and happy birthday to Debbie Flamos, or Flamos, depends on if you're Greek or not. And happy birthday to Sunita Chand. Happy birthday to all three, Andrea, Debbie, and Sunita. Congratulations. Sergi sent in an email, wanted to elaborate on the 12-hour shift. Well, if you were listening, we had the chairwoman of the Taxi and Limousine Commission on at 8 o'clock, and for a half hour straight spoke about the 12-hour shift rules that are coming up. So the most important thing to know, which I didn't know, is it's 12 hours of actual working time. So if you work from 8 to 10 in the morning and then have to go have your transmission fixed for 4 hours and you go back to work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you still have 10 hours left because it's driving a cab for 12 hours. That's what it is. And once you reach that 12 hours, and you really should stop at like 11 hours and before 12 hours, you have to take 8 hours off. But it's not something where once you turn on the meter, 12 hours later it has to go off. That's not how it works. Okay, I want to thank the chairwoman of the Taxi and Limousine Commission, who's going to be getting a new cell phone after this interview. And also want to thank Eric Arsamont from Sam Schwartz's office. And that was Mira Zoshi from the Taxi and Limousine Commission. Thank all you callers, all the emailers. Sorry I didn't get to you callers. A little hectic today. And I am Taxi Dave. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're here on Sundays, WOR 710 from 8 to 9. And here's a message for you. Don't drink and drive. I got to go now.
Hey, taxi, get me out of San Jose and don't do over the speed limit. I'm not doing 90 miles an hour.
This has been a podcast from WOR.